a sometimes cynical and negative world, 98PXY dares to feel good.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
This is Moose and Breezy's Vibe Check.
Yeah.
PXY mornings on the number one hit music station, 98PXY.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
Did someone say vibe check? Oh, yes, they did. What's up, guys? It's Moose, it's Breezy, and we're just... It's pathetic.
Oh, my God. In. I've been sick for 2 weeks. I don't know what you want from me.
It's hard in these streets. It's so tough in these trenches. What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in. 585-252-9800.
What are you singing?
Where's our friends at this morning, Breeze?
Trying
to start the show off on a good note.
Yeah, just, you know, serenading our audience. We love that. Moose or Mariah Carey? We just don't know. All right, who is here? We have our girl Mackenzie weighing
in. Mackenzie.
Mackenzie says, "Good morning. Feeling good today because tomorrow is a huge day. What's tomorrow? Tell me. Share with the class. Tell everybody." This person says, "Good morning, Breezy and Moose. It's Amy from Soda checking in.
What's up, Amy?
My husband's hours got changed, so I'm back, baby. The vibes are great, killing the Aqua in Motion class this morning, and then party planning for Nevaeh's Quinceañera. Have a great day, everyone."
Aqua in Motion class.
She crushes it.
She crushes it. What is that, like a synchronized swimming?
Like a water aerobics.
101.
Good morning, it's Lori. I'm in my good vibes because I'm going to physical therapy and I go back to work tomorrow. I love you guys. I love you so much. Good morning, Ashley is here.
What's up, Ash? Vibes are great.
She says, "I start a new job on Tuesday." Oh, we love our working queens, you know?
We
just
sure do.
Slay. I met one of your high school friends last night. She loved me. Her name was Stephanie.
Okay.
I don't know. She was tan.
I don't.
She went to high school with you. She said you guys talk all the time.
I couldn't tell you. I don't. That's all you got? I graduated with 400 people.
I don't know. She's the one that texts in to you all the time, she says, whenever we're... this is really embarrassing for both you and her. Yikes. We'll quickly move away. She did step on my toe, though, so.
Tell us where you were last night.
I was at this, like, dinner en blanc party. We all had to wear white for Labor Day. Like, you know, end of the summer, last chance to wear white. So we all were there on the river, and we all ate dinner and danced and dressed up and had a blasty.
So you were
great,
like at the convention center, right on the river.
No, like on the river, like other side, like the Riverwalk.
Got it.
Eating dinner.
Got it.
Just eating sushi, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So good, so fun. And yeah,
vibes are up this morning because it's Thursday. Tomorrow it's payday for a lot of people, including us. Tell us it's us tomorrow too, right?
It is us tomorrow.
It is us. Oh,
we haven't gotten paid since like July, so
I know.
I would love to get a paycheck.
Yes, obviously we could use that. Vibes are up today. Got a lot going on this weekend.
Did you win the Powerball last night?
I didn't look.
Okay, obviously not.
I didn't look. You don't know that. Don't put that out there.
Your winning numbers didn't win.
How do you know? I haven't checked the ticket.
I don't know.
I haven't even checked. The ticket's in my wallet. It's upstairs in my desk. I have to grab that and look. But I think, what was it? 815 mil. Does it say there was a winner? 800 what?
850.
Oh, it went up.
I don't think there was, because now it's up to 950.
Oh, there's no... Nobody claimed their ticket then. Just, yeah.
All right, I don't think it was you. Or maybe it was. I don't know.
They would probably say if there was a winning number. They'd probably tell you.
Like it was sold?
It's a possibility. Not to mention, I had ChatGPT pick my numbers for me. So
yeah.
It was stupid. Thank you guys for tuning in this morning. We appreciate all the good vibes. Breezy, your vibes are through the roof, clearly.
Yeah.
Love that. So last time we talked about Henry Brown, who was that security guard at Salinger's down on East Ave for over 30 years. He was hit by a car and killed. It was back on June 14th. They never found the guy who did it. He turned himself in 10 days later. He had his time to shine in court yesterday. I'll tell you everything that went down and some of the interesting things about this guy coming up next on the show. Stay there. PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy. What's up, guys? So Dennis Sutton, who owns Salinger's on East Ave, says he's still heartbroken over the loss of his friend and longtime employee, Henry Brown of Rochester. I think the last time we spoke about Henry was back in June. He was struck by a car on June 14th, was killed as he was walking home on South Union Street. And the man who was convicted of hitting Brown was 34-year-old Leonel Yaspana, who was driving under the influence and left the scene after hitting him. This is his fifth DWI-related arrest.
Oh, my God.
Five.
He's going to prison.
10 days later, he turned himself into the police. Yesterday is when he appeared in court, where he entered a not guilty plea. I guess that's what his lawyer told him.
He's like, I turned myself in and I did do it, but I'm not guilty.
Okay. It's so sad because, I mean, the guy clearly has a drinking problem. And Monroe County Assistant District Attorney Drew Croft said the same exact thing. And he said, so because he has refused to face his problem head on, the prosecutor now is looking for him to receive state prison time.
Mm-hmm. As he should.
Not long before the crash, he consumed 12 drinks over a two-hour period at a bar nearby. Think about that. You just had 12 drinks. I don't even know how you keep your eyes open. And in a couple hours, you did that with four DWIs already under your belt.
How does this guy even have a license at this point?
You still got in the car and decided to drive.
Okay. I like won't even drive after one drink, let alone 12.
I mean, he's obviously an alcoholic, and I get it. People have issues, but are you going to deal with it?
But you killed someone.
Right. Now, after your fifth one, you finally took someone's life and then left the scene. And I guess the guilt caught up with him because 10 days, almost 2 weeks later, he finally turned himself in. Henry Brown worked at the downtown bar Salinger's almost 30 years as the security guard. I used to run in that guy all the time. He was the greatest dude.
Mm-hmm.
Just check everyone's ID, make sure everyone's good, everyone's safe. And it was so sad. They celebrated his life at the bar, I think it was a couple weeks ago at Salinger's. But It sounds like this guy is might be going away for a little bit, as he should, and hopefully he gets the help he needs.
Correct.
Because after five, that's insane.
And killing someone.
Speaking of making your life harder than it really has to be, Breezy. And you have friends who've recently done just this.
I don't know
if you were in touch on that.
I don't respect it, but I just don't understand. And everyone is entitled to their own lifestyle and their own opinion. But when you are turning a 2-minute task into a 30-minute task, that's when we have some issues. I'll tell you exactly how my friends are turning into modern-day colonial women coming up next.
98 PXY is free. And always will be.
What would make a normal average person want to become Amish? It's PXY Mornings.
One day you just wake up and you're like,
Moose and Breeze.
I hate light. I hate electricity. I hate an iPhone. I hate anything that can make my life easier.
Well, there
ChatGPT?
Sure.
The devil. The devil inside.
There are some people that just want to disappear without actually having to fake their own death.
I just don't understand what's going on. And I'm on one today, you guys, so don't cross me. Period, point blank.
Now, we all have that one friend that watches way too many HGTV shows, and now they just want to build things out of wood.
It's not even HGTV. Like, HGTV is modernized, it's fun, it's not like they're building tents in the backyard. The closest thing you have is Tiny House Nation, which is a great show. It
sure
does slap. But I think it's, I honestly think it's TikTok and a little bit of Instagram. Come with me to hang up my clothes that I just did on my washboard, and then they're gonna hang dry in the summer breeze.
Well, listen, I don't want to get hateful here. I just want you to relate what we were talking about yesterday back to this morning at this time on why you're so frustrated with some of your friends.
I have been distancing myself from some close people in my life that once were very close to my life because they truly have changed completely as a person, and that's fine. I said that yesterday. I think we're all allowed to change. I think we're all allowed to grow. But when you all of a sudden overnight, it's Monday, and then you go to sleep and you wake up Tuesday morning and you say, I'm Amish now, that's where I have issue, okay? And I just feel like with all the things that we take in, mind you, can we please just go back and reiterate the fact that they are getting all these ideas from TikTok and Instagram? So without the technology you're using right now, you wouldn't even know to do any of this stuff, right?
What a blessing.
So I have a friend who is just going so far to the other side, churning their own butter, making their own bread, hanging their diapers in the air. Like, it is a whole thing.
Yeah, anybody using cloth diapers on a loved one? It's messy.
I mean, when it's my time to be in a diaper, give me Depends. You know what I mean? Give me Depends immediately.
Sure.
I just feel like I take issue with it because, again, it's not my life and I'm not trying to judge, even though I sound like a massive judgmental bee right now.
That ship sailed, Breezy.
No, fully. But it's like, why would you want to do something and perform life a certain way that makes it 20 times harder than the average way?
People have their reasons.
And I mean, listen, if you are one of these people or you know one of these people, 585-252-9800, I just don't get it. I understand there is room and places and spaces for more holistic and simple and natural approaches to life. I get that.
I think there's so many people, even listening to this show, even us, where you've gotten to a point in your life where you're so fed up and you're like, I'm ready to go off the grid. I'm so ready. Think about the outfits. You never have to. You're right now, we try to impress people. We're always trying to match. There's no stress. Black and white. That's the dream. It's simple. No bills, no influencers, no one selling you something at your door. You just ghost everyone the old-fashioned way.
I've never dreamt of that once in my life.
You don't have to text anyone back because you're not receiving them.
Not you fully going to Italy and never coming back.
This sounds nice, to be quite honest.
I want to see you churn your own butter. I want to see you churn your own butter.
Did
I want to see you bake your own bread. You made butter last night.
No, but
exactly.
I have done it in the past.
Where? When?
Pennsylvania. We went to go see the Amish on a field trip, and they allowed us to churn butter, and I did it.
Do it in your kitchen. Then come and bring it in. I would love to taste that. I would honestly vomit instantly.
Well, no, I make good butter. You guys, I make good butter. You know who started making their own bread? My sister-in-law. She's very into this I make my own sourdough kick type of thing, and I've got to tell you, it's delicious.
I think and I fear... that everything's a trend, right? Everything comes in waves. And right now, being as minimalistic as possible is trendy, and making your bread is trendy, especially after Taylor Swift talked about it a couple weeks back on the podcast. She's like, I make sourdough. The sourdough sales have just absolutely skyrocketed since then. And there's nothing wrong with that. My mom is making her own bread. It's delicious. I love that. But I think for the people that have always lived life that way, AKA my Amish friends in Penn Yan and the Mennonites down in Middlesex.
Yeah, they don't.
They're like, this is so disrespectful to us. Like, you're just doing this for fun. This is a cute little hobby for you.
I don't think they feel that way.
I think they do. Well, they probably don't because they don't have the means to see it. But if they were to be able to see it, I think they would feel some type of way. And I'm honestly a voice for the Amish community.
No, you are definitely not.
I definitely am.
Yeah, you're not going to come on the show, dump on them, and then say you're the voice.
Oh, I'm not dumping on them. I'm dumping on people who try to be them. There's a huge difference.
But don't you think a part of the Amish community is trying to recruit?
Maybe.
I think
honestly,
it's
not them literally on LinkedIn.
They are insanely resourceful, you guys. Amish businesses right now are booming. You're talking about bakeries, construction companies, furniture shops. You know how many of my friends go to the Amish to have their kitchen tables built? They do their cabinets. They do a phenomenal job.
Not me cutting a deal with the Amish to get a house made for myself. Can you build my house? Because I literally can't afford anything else. They're like, perfect. We'll build a beautiful shack on a nice piece of land for you.
Some of their businesses should be advertising with us here on PXY. We do a remote.
Let's cast that net, shall we? If any Amish or Mennonites are listening right now, Penn Yan specifically, down there in the southern tier, we want you. We need you. This is your station. PXY.
Yeah.
The voice of the Amish.
You guys want to cry?
Come to PXY.
That's right.
Obviously. But I don't know. I just think we have come such a long way technologically. And you don't have to use every piece of technology. I'm not saying you should talk to chat as much as I do. I think it's obviously I'm facing some problems right now with chat. Her and I are way too close.
The big problem I would have, like talking about some of your friends, for instance, if they were to change over to this new lifestyle.
And then they judge the heck out of you?
No. And they start posting about it on social. Then
that's what they're doing! That's what they're doing! I just picked this from my garden. I'm so holistic and off the grid. You literally posted it to your Instagram story.
Try to get them new followers. At the end of the day,
the Amish followers.
You gotta live your life the way you want to live it, I guess. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
tell Jebediah we said what's up. Come through.
Drop that bread off.
Imagine driving the kid who's been tormenting your daughter's school every morning.
It's because, so tough.
Because you already told this kid's mom you absolutely would. It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. Eileen agreed to help out her neighbor, who's a single mom, needs the help. And she agreed to help her by driving her son to school this year along with her own daughter. How generous of Eileen. Except now her daughter tells her this kid has been bullying her all summer. The same kid she agreed to drive to school. Now
that's
what?
So bad.
Let's get Eileen, who's been on hold. Let me, by the way, if you guys have suggestions on what you think she should do, by all means, 585-252-9800. Hi, Eileen. Thanks for coming on the air this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate you.
So you're welcome. So just wondering, why did you want to talk about this on air?
Because I could use some advice and kind of want to cast a wide net on that.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, so it's not a newsworthy conversation. So I'm not calling Channel 10. It's just that there's some drama. So I am curious what other moms or dads would do on this one.
Okay. Let it rip.
Okay. Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, I agreed to drive my neighbor's son to school this year. So my neighbor's a single mom. She works early. I wanted to help her out. So I said, no problem. I would take him with my daughter. They've known each other for a very long time. So it wasn't really a big deal. I was taking my daughter to school anyway.
Got
you know,
yeah.
Not a problem. Fast forward this week, my daughter comes to me. She's sobbing. She's in tears. She's telling me that that this boy, this same boy that I'm supposed to drive every morning, has been bullying her at school.
Okay, that's not great.
And you just found this out this week.
Right. So he's been calling her names. He's been making fun of her in front of the other kids. They were at the pool and at camp and just saying stuff about her weight. Like,
oh, my God.
Just
horrific.
Yeah, not nice.
By the way, Eileen, how old are they?
They're about 10.
Okay.
Okay, so, old enough to know better.
So...
old enough to know better.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see the dilemma. Like, if you continue to bring this kid to school, I mean, it's probably going to traumatize your daughter and make it seem like you're not on her side or listening to anything that she's saying truly. But if you don't, I mean, you're going to kind of screw over this mom, to be honest.
Right. And I don't want to screw over a single mom, right?
But she's got enough on her plate.
Have you had this conversation with her about her son yet?
Yeah, I tried to. I mentioned something to the mom because, right, that's the first step,
sure,
right?
Obviously.
If we can get it resolved, then everybody wins. But sure. She was kind of in denial about it. She told me to my face that her son would never do something
right,
like that.
Right, they never did, even though there's video evidence. Right, of course.
I mean, my instinct is to just send her a text and back out because, you know, it's my kid. Like,
right.
My kid is...
You're not going to have kid uncomfortable in their own car. Also, there raises another question about if you were to parent this child, she could flip out, which, I mean, could be best case scenario because then she'd pull out. But I don't know if she would do that because she really needs you for a ride.
This is your daughter we're talking about. So obviously that's the first priority, not your neighbor's kid who's obviously bullying your daughter. That's an issue.
But I get it, though. If you were to need something from her in the future, you're probably not going to get it.
And, you know, yeah, I understand. I get you said she's a single mom and she could use the help.
Yeah. Yeah, she could. But I mean, I can't have. It's one thing for me to say, hey, kid, you know, work it out. Like you can, you know, grow a pair and do the hard things. Right. Like I'm all about that as a parent. But there's a difference between that and making her sit with the bully in the car every day.
Maybe it's a conversation you just have with the kid. One-on-one. Or with your daughter there present.
Yeah, and then she sues you for who knows what.
You know, so what's your gut leaning towards right now?
Therapy bills.
Right, literally, that's part of the course.
No, there's nothing wrong with sitting down and being like, do you want to talk this out and hash this out? Like, why are you saying these things to my daughter? You can have a conversation with him. He's 10. He knows what he's doing at this point. So
yeah, but I could see that blowing up in my face, too.
So where's your, what's your gut telling you? What are you leaning towards?
My gut is leaning towards backing out. It's not my job to parent somebody else's kid.
So if you guys are just tuning in, here's the dilemma. Does Eileen back out and risk letting down this mom who's kind of really counting on her? Or does she keep her promise and, I don't know, basically force her daughter to ride to school with this 10-year-old punk
her arch nemesis, essentially.
Right. Yeah, I would put your daughter first in this situation, but that's me. Let us know what you decide to do. We're going to get to some messages coming in right now, Eileen.
It's definitely a tough situation to be in. We feel for you.
It sounds like you're just going to have the conversation with the mom that you can't do it. She'll figure out. Like, there's other alternatives. I'm sure she'll figure it out.
I guess. You know, I don't know if I should maybe like wait till a weekend to give her some time to find an alternative.
You're a good person.
Or,
you're a good person. Let's just put it that way.
I'm trying to be.
Yeah, for
I'm
sure.
Trying to be.
Well, yeah, clearly. I mean, considering it's weighing on you, because there's other people that'd be like, "Well, screw you. You figure it out on your own." And you're trying trying to do the right thing here. Obviously, that's clear. We'll get to some messages here, but I appreciate you calling in this morning.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate your help with this one.
Oh, no problem, Eileen. We'll do our best to see if we can help. All right, guys, 585-252-9800. Eileen, have a great day.
You too. Thanks, guys.
All right. First message we get is from a mom named Sarah who says, nope, absolutely not. I love when people write in all caps.
Yep.
As a mom, I would be livid. No way would I force my daughter to be around someone who torments her. That's not just a car ride. That's sending a message to your daughter that her comfort doesn't matter. This person says, I'd still drive them. Go ahead.
This person says, why don't kids ride the bus anymore? Just
nobody
such
rides.
A valid question.
It's a very valid question. But, you know, who did we talk to yesterday on the show for parental? Linda from Greece. That was an issue. Her son just got his bus route. He's got to walk a half a mile to the bus stop, and some kids are barely leaving the driveway.
Yeah.
So this person said, I'd still drive him, but I make it clear to both kids that bullying is not tolerated. And if it happens again, he's out. Give him one last chance to clean it up. It sounds like a tough situation, but is it?
I mean...
Is it? You're going to put your kid first.
I think the someone who would have a tough
time with this is someone who does not deal with confrontation. That's basically what it is.
Here's what made this here's what made this situation even easier. The fact that she brought it up to this kid's mom and she was like, not my Tanner. You know, I'm like, all right, see ya. If this mom's already, here we go. If this mom's already in denial, nothing's going to change. Eileen's daughter shouldn't have to sit and be uncomfortable each morning when the school year starts because this kid needs a ride to school. Let his mom figure it out. Sean says, tell this punk to take the bus or a hot air balloon to school. He wouldn't be getting in my car, that's for sure.
Not my Tanner.
No, not my Tanner.
Not my Tanner.
Yeah, and you know, people are asking too, can't this mom have a sit down with both kids present? It is going to be a little uncomfortable, which what I mentioned earlier, but sometimes putting the issue on the table makes it stop. Sad that the other mom's in denial, but... some people, you know.
These things happen.
These things absolutely happen. Eileen, thanks for calling in this morning. I appreciate it. And all the messages coming in. I wouldn't drive them.
You're never having kids.
I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking, if this were the case, if I was in her shoes, I'd be like, good luck to you.
I'd give him one more chance. And if he can't do it, he's out.
PXY mornings.
On the side of the road. What do I care?
No, you definitely...
The child abuse charges.
Yeah, right.
Connect with PXY Mornings on our socials.
Facebook.
IG.
X.
98 PXY Rochester.
It's Moose and Breezy on 98 PXY.
Okay, everybody, keep your pants on. Fringe Fest is coming to town. But it's not just coming back, baby. It's back in full swing for the first time ever, teaming up with our friends at Three Heads Brewing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, they're doing their debut custom brew for the first time ever. There will be an ESL Rochester Fringe Fest beer.
Let me tell you why I'm excited about this. One, I missed last year because I didn't even know about it. With the year before.
You did know about it. We literally couldn't stop talking about it.
This year, I'm very excited. When are the dates, by the way?
Oh, for Fringe, coming up here begins the 9th, which, will you be here? Nope, definitely won't.
No,
it ends the 20th. You'll definitely be here by then. So it's a two-week festival. You'll absolutely have a blasty blast. But do you have any guesses? Do you want to take a stab at what the flavor is?
As far as, like...
what the beer is.
I'm going to go with...
as far as the vibe. No, the beer.
Oh, I'm IPA?
That is the most generic thing you could have ever said.
Let's do a little pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin spice latte ale.
Is it really?
Period.
There it is.
It's perfect for the season, and it's absolutely delicious for the launch of the first beer, Fringe beer, they've ever had. So I'm glad that it's our friends at Three Heads because obviously we're obsessed with them. And there's other Fringe Fests that happen around the world that have launched beers. So Rochester was like, oh, we need to do that. And we need to do it immediately. So they did a little like taste test sample last night at Three Heads. And then they did a couple food trucks outside, a little pop-up 2025 Fringe guide for the festival next month. And people are excited. I think it's going to add a new element to the festival. It's going to draw some more people in. And not only is the like flavor delicious, is it flavor? Is that the word I'm supposed to be using?
I would say the flavor, the taste.
Yeah, the taste of the beer is the pumpkin spice latte. But the can is absolutely stunning.
Yeah, we love
so
a good can.
So go check it out. A
collector's item.
Love your cans.
It's a big deal, though, guys. I mean, since they debuted in 2012, Fringe Fest, it's drawn almost a million visitors from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you got over 6,000 diverse performances, events. I can't believe I missed this last year.
Yeah.
Still kicking myself. I got to make up for it.
I didn't know about it. Right.
Yes. A press pass has been in my mailbox upstairs for like...
literally.
Taylor Swift! Travis Kelce and Taylor finally tied the knot, and we're all very excited for them.
Did not tie the knot.
They're going to. They got engaged.
Bruce is like, they're married, everyone!
They got engaged. We're flipping to a love story that's lasted almost 45 years. I want to talk to my mom, Lois, who's going to be joining us live, because she's going to give her best advice on what makes a marriage actually work. This Saturday is my parents' 45th anniversary. We're very excited for them. And we're going to get Lois on the phone, who we don't typically talk to, Breezy.
No, we do not.
But she's coming up next. Stay there. It's PXY Mornings.
98 PXY is free. And always will be.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy. So this past Tuesday at like 1 in the afternoon, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift got engaged in front of a bunch of plants.
No.
What a weird time to propose.
Nope, that's not what happened.
It was in the garden section at Home Depot.
Nope.
Anyone listening who has been married for a long time understands and knows how much work it takes. I mean, that's with any relationship, right?
Sure, sure.
Your parents have been married how long?
I think 35 years.
Long time. Now, I've heard the first 7 years of marriage is always the hardest. Some couples,
really?
Yeah, some couples don't make it to that first 7 years. Life happens, but if you truly love the person deep down, you will do just about anything to make it work. And I think my parents, Lois and Phil, have always been just a really great example of what love is, and I've always looked up to them in the relationship. And this Saturday is my parents. They're going to be celebrating their 45th wedding anniversary.
That's insane.
So with Travis and Taylor getting married, or maybe even some of our listeners, I thought, why not bring my mom, Lois, onto the show to give some advice on marriage? Hi, Mom.
Lois!
Good morning, guys.
My queen!
What are you doing right now?
Watching TV. I had my espresso.
Well, of course you did.
She goes watching TV and not listening to the radio. Right. What are you doing? Right.
She's not your mom. So really quick.
Lois calls in like once a year.
Right. For people who have never heard you on the show, Mom, before, or know your backstory, my mother's Polish. Her name is Lois. She's an angel.
No, she isn't.
And just tell us really quickly how you and Dad met.
Oh, gosh. Well, we actually met on the soccer field. And we kind of had an instant attraction to each other.
Was it the shin guards?
Yeah, yeah. I had the shin guards on.
Oh, okay, you dirty dog.
I thought you guys met at a club.
Well, we met on the soccer field.
Yeah.
And then I went out with some friends, and your father was there, and we kind of started talking, and things just kind of progressed from there.
You and Vinyl is like crazy.
It was an instant attraction.
Now, when you met Dad, were you in a relationship currently at the time or no?
I was. I was.
Oh my God.
Lois!
Mom.
Oh my God, you hussy. I love it.
Mom, give us some tips for everybody listening. 45 years this Saturday, you and Dad. So tell us a little bit about what it takes to have a marriage for that long.
Oh, I'll give you a couple. Well, first thing is when you're a woman and you tell your husband, I'll be down in 5 minutes, know that 5 minutes is really 45 minutes. So tell your husband, go fix yourself a drink and wait for me.
We love an honest queen.
Yeah, we do. No wonder Dad drinks so much. Okay. All right, that's a good one. Okay.
It's kind of nice to leave notes for each other.
When I was working,
I would leave notes attached to a coffee mug for Daddy, either inside the coffee mug, just I love you, have a great day, with a smiley face, or when Dad would go out, he would he would do the same thing. So it was kind of special, you know.
That's so cute.
I didn't know that Dad left notes for you. I was not aware of that. Yeah, so that's an interesting way, too. That's a good way to keep the relationship.
Just right. Knowing that you're thinking of one another.
Yeah, sure.
Sometimes I'd find him in my coffee mug, and I'd just leave him on the counter. When he'd get home, I'd thank him for the note.
Okay.
Another thing, I think don't take everything so serious. Laughing and acting silly. We don't do it in front of our kids, but just, you know, acting goofy at times and just horsing around, and it just kind of brings you closer to each other.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not that serious.
Kind of living in the moment.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
do you and Dad ever run out of things to talk about, Mom?
I know. I was going to ask that too.
I mean, after 45 years of marriage, do you ever like just sit there in silence? I've seen you do it.
Oh, yeah.
She's disassociating.
Oh,
I mean, you know what? Going through day-to-day life and just, you know, trying to find stuff to talk about. So what'd you buy at Home Depot today, or what'd you get at Wegmans, you know?
Right.
It's not like that. You know, you have your moments where you're, you know,
silent.
You're quiet and,
yeah,
you both need your space.
Sure.
And just, you know, respecting that too. You know, there's times that I just want to be alone, and, you know, Dad has his moments where he's like, he'll be watching a movie. I'll go upstairs. I'll have my time alone, or, you know, we'll go out to lunch with our friends. So it's kind of nice just to give each other that space.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's,
you know,
fair. That's healthy.
And I think one of the struggles that you guys had too was that when grandma was still with us, I mean, you were her caretaker for almost 11 years, and you guys weren't capable of going on a date for almost 11 years because you were by grandma's side all the time. How did you guys like get over that hump?
That was a big challenge. That was 11 years of taking care of her, and, you know, that's when Chris was still living.
That's a fourth of your marriage, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
And Chris was still living home. And so he was kind of like, you know, I hate to say it, but we kind of like relied on him for times when we wanted to go out to dinner.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was great with that.
Yeah. My younger brother was very helpful in that situation.
Dad had a lot of patience for that. Dad had a lot of patience for that.
Sure.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Mom, I mean, all in all, what's the, if you can leave anybody listening right now who's married,
especially Taylor and Travis.
Yeah. Especially Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. What's the one thing you tell them?
Well, I think you need to really have respect and communication in a relationship, and coming from where they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things against them, but there's a lot of things that could make that relationship really strong.
Yeah.
And I think respect and communication, you know, and being in the limelight, that's tough.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a lot of work. But if they're truly in love and they love each other, they'll make it happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
They have a lot of conversations that behind the scenes that we don't hear or see. And so I think they're going to be super happy. Mom,
I'm happy for them.
Lois, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on. I love chatting with you, even if it is only once a year. But I did want to leave you with one.
Well, you never call me.
I know. I need to reach out more. But I did want to leave you with one question. You have had a beautiful, successful marriage with ups and downs for the past 45 years. And you have three beautiful children out of it, two of which are happily married with kids of their own. How amazing of it for you to be a grandma. I just have one question. What do you think is wrong with Moose? I'm just asking on behalf of all of Rochester. The commitment issues are strong.
I'm still trying to figure that one out.
All are, truly.
I'm like, is it something that we did?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mom, happy anniversary to you, Dad. Thank you so much. I love you.
Lois, I want you to know
I'm not done with the conversation.
It's not your fault.
I will see you in Italy, okay?
That's going to be romantic, Lois. I cannot wait for you and Phil Sr. and Phil Jr. to share a hotel on your 45th wedding anniversary.
This is going to be another phone call, Breezy.
I'm going to be sleeping between them. All right, Ma, love you. Have a great day.
All right, love you guys. You too.
All right, bye.
Why didn't she answer the question?
She, deep down, she has no idea how messed up I truly am.
98PXY. Want to clear the air? Need to get something off your chest? Go on, try it. You want to feel the heat as it comes out of your mouth. My coworker should stop whistling Taylor Swift songs. He's not paid to be a canary. Two eggs in your omelet? Whoa, settle down, Rockefeller. I, for the life of me, can't believe Odyssey Management gave these two clowns their own show. There, I said it. Now, doesn't that feel better? BXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy present There, I Said It on the number one hit music station. 98 BXY.
Let's spit some hot fire this morning, shall we?
We shall.
585-252-9800 is the number to call if you need to clear the air and get something off your chest. Okay, anything goes for the next 6 minutes. I'm starting the timer right now.
Pick me.
Go ahead, Breeze.
So mine for today is this, and I feel like I've said it before, but I don't care. I'll say it again. Halloween Oreos are superior to any other Oreo that they've ever made ever. There, I said it. They taste better. They look better. They're more fun. And
it's the same cookie with orange frosting.
Nope. It's thicker. It tastes different. It's better.
It's thicker.
You can't tell me any different. It's not as thin as a regular, and it's not as thick as a double stuffed. It's somewhere in between, and it is sheer perfection. I bought a carton yesterday. Half of it's gone. I don't care. No shame.
Did you see the Instagram video of them taking a blowtorch to an Oreo and it for like 90 seconds and it didn't melt?
That's called innovative.
What the hell is this cookie made out of?
That's called innovative.
You can take a blowtorch to an Oreo and it's fine.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, Moose, you know?
No, it kills you later. Let's go over to Craig. This is an aggressive text this morning. People who walk into a bathroom and immediately start talking on speakerphone like everyone cares about your conversation. I will punch you with my eyes. There, I said it.
I dare you, Craig. I dare you.
Punch you with
come
eyes.
Find me in the ladies' room.
Kelsey says people who park diagonally across two spots because they'll only be a minute are some of the loneliest people I have ever met. There, I said it. Yeah, well, if you get a chance to meet them, they are lonely.
Yeah, that's on period.
I saw somebody do that yesterday.
I don't see the correlation, but you have the science behind it, so you do what you need to do. oh my God, excuse me. This person says, lack in leadership and communication from management is the number one reason why most senior employees decide to leave. There, I said it. Okay, Janine. Not Janine, putting in her 2 weeks.
I know, right? Let's go over to Gina. What's up, Gina? Gina says, hi, Moose and Breezy. Men out here in Rochester acting baller and driving cars they can't afford with a credit score of 400 or less. Get your priorities straight. There, I said it. Yeah. But you know what they say. You got to fake it until you make it.
They do say that.
Oh, Breeze.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The outside of the car looks good. We've souped it up, but the engine and the transmission are failing. Day by day.
You got to get that check engine light fixed.
So important.
Got to do it. I think mine for today is... Can we all please stop saying to one another, we should catch up soon? None of us mean it. Stop it. You're lying. There, I said it.
We should really catch up soon.
Never have I ever.
Yeah.
I don't have time.
Yeah, I mean, I hear it all the time, and I don't think people are sincere when they say it. They're trying to be polite.
Miss me with that.
We should get a drink soon. Let's catch up.
No, thank you. This person says mayonnaise is the most vile food in the world. There, I said it.
It's one of my favorite condiments. You guys should try putting it on eggs or fries.
And that's why cholesterol is so high.
It's better than just putting it in a tuna fish. Trust me on that. Let's go to over Scott this morning. Mechanics who explain the problem in words you don't understand and then charge you double what it should cost. All deserve what's coming to them. Yeah.
I'll take it a step further and say this. If you do a job that I don't understand, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care how it works. I don't care how you're fixing it. I don't know. I don't need a play-by-play. I don't need to know. Don't tell me. Don't waste my time. Just do it. Because the 5-minute interaction we just had of you explaining to me what you're going to do, I don't care. I don't.
Go see my friends at the Ide family of dealerships. It really is as easy as 1, 2, 3.
They won't explain anything to you. Perfect.
I love listening to you guys in the morning. This is coming in from Pete. But your show is too early. I don't typically wake up until 11 each day. So kind of lunchtime. And this is so early for me because I have a doctor appointment. You guys rock. There, I said it.
Yeah, we rock the rock.
PDP, can you imagine waking up at 11 every single day?
My dream.
No,
truly my dream.
That gives me anxiety thinking about it.
My dream.
Let's go over to a couple more people for there. I said it this morning. Some people need to stop jumping from one relationship to the next. You don't need a partner. You need a therapist in 6 months to be alone. There, I said it. I couldn't agree more.
Why are we breaking up? Well, I need to work on myself. I need to find myself. 5 minutes later on Tinder. Oh, okay.
When people do say, I need to go and find myself, what does that typically mean?
They need to find themselves in someone else's bed.
No, but...
That's my experience.
No. God, here we go. When somebody says, I need to go and find myself, are they saying that they're searching for a part of themselves that's lost or they have yet to find? What does it mean?
I don't even think the person who's saying it knows what it means.
Are they just trying to get your crap together? Is that what that means?
I don't know. Or the people that are like, I need to be alone, and then they're like on every dating app ever. I'm like, wait, what? Okay, it's not.
My buddy Ross.
No, fully. So, Ross catches strays on this show more than anyone I've ever met.
Well, he's got to come and do
more than Mennonites. That says a lot.
Yeah. Let's go over to one more here. This morning, you guys, I completely blew up the bathroom at the Starbucks on Culver Road. And to the woman who went in right after me with her coffee, I'm really sorry. I hope you have a better rest of your day. That's very sweet of you.
Is there a Starbucks on Culver Road? Not me ordering.
Right. Where is there Starbucks in Culver?
I don't think there is, but maybe she's confused. She literally blew it up so hard she has no idea what
it's a she? I thought this was a guy texting.
I don't know. It's open to interpretation.
Oh, it really is. I'm gonna go with it. It's most likely a woman. They get away with this type of stuff way too much. And let me tell you guys something right now. 90% of the time you go into a public place, I don't care if it's a bar or restaurant, and somebody passed gas, 90% of the time it's a woman because she knows she can get away with it in public.
The other 10% is you.
That's right.
To PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy.
When you tell your smart device to
play 98 PXY.
PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy, welcome back to the show. All right, so here's the situation. Dennis Sutton, who owns Salinger's on East Ave, said he's still heartbroken over the loss of his friend and longtime employee, Henry Brown of Rochester. The last time we spoke about Henry, I think, was back in June when he was struck by a car. That was June 14th, and he was killed as he was walking home on South Union Street. The man who was convicted of hitting him and leaving the scene was 34-year-old Lionel Yaspana, who was driving under the influence and left the scene. This is his fifth DWI-related arrest.
I can't.
Five. 10 days later.
How do you even still have a license?
I don't know. 10 days later, he turned himself into the police. Yesterday, he appeared in court where he entered a not guilty plea. Crazy. I mean, he clearly
turned himself in. Right.
He has a drinking problem. Monroe County Assistant District Attorney Drew Croft said the same exact thing. He said, so because he's refused to face his problem head on, the prosecutor is looking for him to receive state prison time. And then not long before the crash, dude, this guy was in a bar nearby. He consumed 12 drinks in a 2-hour period, then got in his car and drove. Think about that. You just had 12 drinks in a couple hours with 4 DWIs already under your belt, and you still drove. And then this was the outcome. Hitting someone and killing them.
Yeah.
It's so sad to think about. So now he has a total of 5. I don't see how they would
He's going to prison.
But I don't see how you would ever give this guy a driver's license ever again after that. Henry Brown worked at the downtown bar Salinger's for 29 years as a security guard. I know I met him a handful of times in the years that he's been there. Always at the door, checking IDs. I think it was a couple weeks ago they celebrated his life right at Salinger's. But it was such a sad, sad turn of events that took place back in June. So this guy is definitely, hopefully he gets the help he desperately needs.
Yeah.
Coming up on the show, what do you do when someone you love is getting married, but one of the guests is the person who traumatized you years ago? It's a situation with really no easy answer, but I want to share...
Literally me going to any wedding with my ex.
Right. I want to share with you this situation a close friend of mine shared with me, and I'm very curious to hear from you guys on how you would handle something like this. Coming up next on the show. Stay there.
98 PXY is free and always will be.
PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy, welcome back to the show. I wanted to bring this up this morning because it's a really difficult situation that a friend of a friend is facing right now, which I could imagine would be heavy on the heart for anyone who's gone through something similar. So it's tough, but a friend of mine from high school calls me, who now lives out of state, and we catch up maybe once or twice a month, something like that. And he starts telling me that someone we used to be friends with is getting married soon.
Okay.
But her maid of honor, someone very close to her, has made the decision to not attend. And the reason is because the groom's cousin, who will be at the wedding, allegedly took advantage of her back in high school.
Okay.
The both of them went to separate schools, but my buddy, who I'll call him Jeff, tells me that when the two of them many years ago were at a party, everyone was drinking and allegedly she was assaulted, and the impact of that trauma has stayed with her. Can't blame her.
Yeah.
It was a really heavy situation. So now she's deciding that she doesn't want to attend the wedding and stand next to her best friend as the maid of honor because the groom's cousin will be there and he's the one that assaulted her back in high school. And I,
how old are they now? Older?
30s?
Like, yeah.
Maybe 30s, but I don't know if there was any repercussions from that or anything like that. And I'm listening to this story and I'm like, oh my God, I have no idea what the right decision is here. On one hand, she wants to support her friend on the most important day of her life. I mean, she's the maid of honor. And then on the other hand, attending the wedding would mean being in the same space as someone who caused her a ton of trauma and pain.
Yeah.
So regardless if it happened 20 years ago, I mean, that's not the point. The question is, especially for you guys, I mean, how do you, what do you do in this situation?
What advice do you have for this person, right? Because it's definitely a unique situation and everyone deals with trauma completely differently.
Right.
And it's something that you need to figure out what is more important to you. And it's not even a sense of importance because you are so traumatized from a situation that you don't know if you can focus on the task at hand. I think, and I don't know when the wedding is or the timeline of that or anything like that, but I think there should have been therapy prior to help her get through the situation, whether it be the situation as a whole or the situation as she is kind of recounting and reliving and refacing this person and this problem and this assault that she basically went through.
The wedding is November. So I tell my friend Jeff, I said, why can't the groom have a conversation with his cousin about this? It's his family, so it should be his responsibility at the end of the day. But I mean, I want to hear from you guys, 585-252-9800, if you have advice on handling a situation like this. Shoot us a call or text because I'm very interested to hear how other people would handle this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know, according to my buddy Jeff, it's been really rough because she definitely wants to go to this wedding, but at the same time, she wants nothing to do with the groom's cousin that she had this horrible experience with years ago.
How would you handle this situation? I mean, I feel like for myself, again, I've never been in that situation, but I've had friends that have been in that situation, not the wedding per se, but the other stuff as well. I feel like when you love someone enough, you will show up for them. But if it's too painful, you can't fault that person, right?
No, of course not.
But it's not like she's a guest. She's the maid of honor. Like she has a huge role in the day, in the wedding, in the planning process, everything in between.
The bachelorette party.
Yeah. I mean, all that stuff is obviously like since gone and passed, but
yeah,
it's,
which by the way, now that you mentioned that, I don't even know if she was a part of the bachelorette, if it had anything to do with planning it. One of the texts said, Moose, thanks for sharing the story. If it were me, I'd focus on communication. The bride should know why her maid of honor can't be there. And I'm pretty sure she does. but she should be understanding. Support her doesn't always mean showing up physically.
But, okay, can we take something else into consideration here about the fact that when you're getting married and you're planning a wedding and you're doing all the things, obviously I know all about it. I've been in eight, so
right.
I'm pretty much well-adversed in the topic. It's very stressful. And the thoughts and feelings and opinions of the people attending your wedding are simply not top priority. Yes, I agree the situation is a little different because it's like her best friend, her like right hand besides the person she's marrying. It's probably the second most important person there. But if Aunt Kathy and Uncle Joe like don't like each other and they're sitting at the same table, I'm sorry. I don't care. That's not really what I'm focused on right now.
It's not the first priority.
I'm paying, you know, invoices. I'm planning tablescapes. I'm doing all the things. And your comfortability at my wedding,
this is the groom's,
doesn't matter.
This is the groom's problem to solve. Just
that is true.
Uninvite the cousin.
You really think so? They're family, though. That opens up a whole can of worms with the family and everything else.
The bride clearly knows why her best friend is not going to stand with her. So you're telling me this bride didn't have this heart-to-heart conversation with her husband and said, figure it out? If someone in your family did something awful, you step up. You don't just ignore it.
I think that if she did that, though, or if he did that, excuse me, it would be family altering.
Well, probably.
I think that the family dynamic would never be the same.
Let me go over to Chrissy. The groom needs to have a serious conversation with his cousin, and if possible, keep him away from the maid of honor during the wedding. Yeah. I mean, you can only do so much on your wedding day.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, the comfortability of my guests is not my top priority. Although, like I said, she is the most important person other than the person I'm marrying. Here's another thought. I don't know. This is so hard, though, because it's like, would it just be easier for the bride and groom to just be like, okay, then don't come? Because then they would just be constantly worrying about it the entire time.
On your wedding day, you have enough worries and stress going on, I would assume. This is the last thing they want to think about.
Correct.
It might be easier for the maid of honor to just not be there. If that's the situation and she's like, I can't do it, then fine. If that's your best friend and you know what she went through with this idiot that's there from 20 years ago, then you're just probably going to say, I understand.
Right. Absolutely.
No, fine. You know, because it is going to be messy if then she gets involved and
or like drinks are involved and now we're drinking and now someone says something and like
or the groom's cousin he could be one of those guys.
That's what I'm saying.
He gets drunk. All of a sudden he wants to approach her and start talking about stuff that maybe that's going to be really bad.
Yeah. And now grandma's like involved too somehow. I don't know. It's insane.
Someone wrote in, uninvite the cousin. He is the predator. He should have the consequences. He should be the one not attending the wedding, not the maid of honor. Yeah, you got
to. That is true. Because honestly, in a way, it's kind of victim blaming. To be like, okay, right. Then don't come.
You got to put safety and mental health first. Because I get it's her friend and weddings are important, but not more important than your emotional well-being. So if this girl is still traumatized from what happened 20 years ago, then don't go to the wedding.
It's a tough situation.
Hopefully the bride understands.
Yeah, it's a tough situation.
Thank you guys for the messages on this. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. It's PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy.
Stebbins, every afternoon, I've got new songs you might not know yet. Lots of throwbacks you've probably forgot about. And of course, the biggest PXY hits right now. Come hang with me starting at 3, right here on the number one hit music station, 98 PXY.
PXY Mornings, Moose Breezy, welcome back to the show. I gotta ask, buying a home is hard today because typically the homeowner might get, let's say, 25 offers, right?
Right.
And not always will they go to the highest bid. Because I remember I put an offer in on a home in Irondequoit. Homeowner was this little old lady, and she wanted her house to go to someone who was young, maybe starting a family.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I didn't get it.
But
But the home.
You're not young, nor were you starting a family.
She didn't automatically take the highest offer.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask this morning if anyone has ever done what you're thinking about doing, and I have heard people doing this in the past, And yes, it works.
Yes.
For a lot of people, it's frowned upon to do this. But
it's called using your resources. I mean,
what do you have to lose? That's the thing.
So I'm at this party last night, and I was at the table with this woman who is older than me, obviously more life experience than me, and she shared with us that she and her husband had moved a couple years back when they got a letter out of nowhere in their mailbox from someone who basically was like, hey, I want to buy your house. Like, if you ever sell your house, I want to buy it. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh my God, like, yes, like, let's sell our house to these people. Then she goes on to say, little did I know, everybody got in the neighborhood got the letter.
Oh, really?
So she was like, I thought I was like the chosen one. And that wasn't true at all. But they did end up selling their house to this couple. And they went on and found like other arrangements. I mean, when you're an older couple and like your kids are out of the house and like you have this big house and you have nothing or no one to fill it with, like it's a no-brainer, right?
Sure.
Maybe you're not ready at the time, but it's in the back of your mind. So she's like, yeah, we sold it to this couple who wrote us a letter and that we did it a private sale and it was all good, right? I am so curious because I have always heard of this being like a successful tactic, but my curiosity is, what are the benefits of somebody doing that for both a buyer and a seller? Because obviously we know the market's crazy right now. From my experience, I think it's coming down just from looking for the past 2 months. I kind of am like getting a gauge on what's like, what's kosher, what's not kosher. And I feel like a real estate agent has told me recently, not mine, but a different one, that I should start writing letters and putting them in people's mailboxes of homes that I would one day want to live in or desired neighborhoods to be in, because it's less of a hassle for the person selling their house, if they ever were to sell their house, to put it on the market and go through the contingencies and put on an escrow, all the numbers and words you got to throw around.
Yeah, I've had real estate agents tell me the opposite. Some really? Agents have discouraged people from doing this.
Yeah, of course they are, because they're not going to get a cut of it.
Well, according to them, it's due to the fair housing laws and then what have you. But it's one of these situations where, and this is my opinion, but like I was planning on doing it to that house I wanted in Fairport.
The house that was on your screensaver?
Yeah.
You having someone else's home on your screensaver is absolutely wild.
I was waiting to run into them at like Tin Cup or something like
that. No, literally.
Is that our house? Yeah, I was trying to manifest it. Didn't get it.
Yeah, fully.
But it's a situation where I wanted it so badly, and I was like, the homeowners were my age, young. They were moving, and it's like I so badly wanted this house. They didn't put it on the market just yet, and I'm like, please give it to me. So I thought about writing them a letter, and you know, my landlord, or excuse me, my real estate agent, she was like, no, I'm going to talk to them for you. That never worked out. But I was so pissed.
Here's the situation. You got to go with your gut. And whenever someone's like, I will talk to them for you in any sense of the word, it's a no. You can only articulate what it is that you feel inside. And it's not going to mean as much coming from a third-party source. And that's anything in life. That's telling someone how you feel. That's telling someone you want their house. That's telling someone you want to do business with them. So don't ever let someone be like, I'm going to do it for you. No. I know I'm capable of it. I'm going to do it myself. The other caveat.
Also, keep away from any sob stories. But people don't, they don't want
to
hear that.
The other caveat to this is I only feel as if this works with an older couple selling their house or an older person selling their house. Obviously, someone in their 30s or 40s want to make the most money. That is obviously the object of the game. When it's an older person, they're set in their ways, they're set in their money patterns, their retirement's good to go. They're like, what do I need an extra 30 grand for? I mean, yes, it sounds great, but like if you're on an income that's,
yeah,
a surplus.
If you're selling your home and trying to make the most money possible, you don't care who sends you a letter, what's in the letter. You know what I mean? You're just going to go to the highest bidder. That's so the letter means it's useless, but you don't know. You never know.
You don't know what you don't know. So me and chat are going to spend the afternoon drafting some letters.
It's not even
putting them in every mailbox in Fairport.
It's not even sincere. It's coming from ChatGPT. Give me a break.
They don't know that.
Yeah, I know. They don't know
that. I sign it with my own blood, so they're good to go.
All right, hold on a second. I think this is my real estate agent calling. Hi, is this Ashley?
Of course it is.
Ashley's like, can you guys stop driving business away from me? Thank you so much.
Ashley, quick question.
No, Breezy, no, I have to tell Breezy this story. I had a friend come to me who said, I'm going to sell my house to my neighbor for $215,000. I said, Darlene, you're crazy. If I don't sell your house for more than that, I'll do it all for free. What do you think I sold her house for on the market? Breezy, not Moose. What do you think?
$275,000?
$320,000. She cried because she left $100,000. She would have lost $100,000. So I see your point. I bought a house off market. I went through the Nextdoor app, and I'm a realtor, so I get it. But as a seller, it's in their best interest to always list because she would have lost out on $100,000. She cried.
Yeah. By the way, Ashley, when was the last time you saw
you swooping in and crushing the neighbor's dreams bit by bit?
When was the last time you saw a letter work for an individual in buying a house?
6 years ago. It worked one time for me in 15 years. I've been selling real estate. It worked one time.
Man, one time in 15 years.
Interesting.
All right. Well,
thanks, Ash, for the input, but I got some letters to draft, so I got to go.
It's like, God.
Take PXY Mornings with you everywhere you go.
Listen to Moose and Breezy and follow in the free Odyssey app.
The home of 98
PXY. PXY Mornings with Moose and Breezy, 72 for the high today. Eileen agreed to help out her neighbor, a single mom, who could really use the help. And she agreed to help her out by driving her son to school this year along with her own daughter. How generous of
Eileen. What an angel. You know what I mean? What an angel.
Except now her daughter comes to her and tells her that the kid she's driving to school has been bullying her all summer.
That's tough.
She's just finding out about this now. And I'm like, so now what do you do? This is a tough situation. By the way, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you would do if you were in Eileen's shoes. 585-252-9800. Hi, Eileen. Thanks for coming on the air this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate you.
So you're welcome. So just wondering, why did you want to talk about this on air?
Because I could use some advice and kind of want to cast a wide net on that.
Sure.
Okay.
You know, It's not a newsworthy conversation, so I'm not calling Channel 10. It's just that there's some drama. So I am curious what other moms or dads would do on this one.
Okay. Let it rip.
Okay. Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, I agreed to drive my neighbor's son to school this year. So my neighbor's a single mom. She works early. I wanted to help her out. So I said, no problem. I would take him with my daughter. They've known each other for a very long time. So it wasn't really a big deal. I was taking my daughter to school anyway.
Yeah.
Not a problem. Fast forward this week, my daughter comes to me. She's sobbing. She's in tears. She's telling me that that this boy, this same boy that I'm supposed to drive every morning, has been bullying her at school.
Okay, that's not great.
And you just found this out this week.
Right. So he's been calling her names. He's been making fun of her in front of the other kids. They were at the pool and at camp and just saying stuff about her weight. Like,
oh, my God.
Just
horrific.
Not nice.
Eileen, how old are they?
They're about 10.
Okay.
So, old enough to know better.
So
old enough to know better.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see the dilemma. Like, if you continue to bring this kid to school, I mean, it's probably going to traumatize your daughter and make it seem like you're not on her side or listening to anything that she's saying truly. But if you don't, I mean, you're going to kind of screw over this mom, to be honest.
Right. And I don't want to screw over a single mom, right?
She's got enough on her plate.
Have you had this conversation with her about her son yet?
Yeah, I tried to. I mentioned something to the mom because, right, that's the first step,
sure,
right?
Obviously.
If we can get it resolved, then everybody wins. But she was kind of in denial about it. She told me to my face that her son would never do something
right,
like that.
Right, never. They never did, even though there's video evidence. Right, of course.
I mean, my instinct is to just send her a text and back out because, you know, it's my kid. Like, right. My kid is...
You're not going to have your kid uncomfortable in their own car. Also, there raises another question about if you were to parent this child, she could flip out, which, I mean, could be best case scenario because then she'd pull out. But I don't know if she would do that because she really needs you for a ride.
This is your daughter we're talking about. So obviously that's the first priority, not your neighbor's kid who's obviously... bullying your daughter, that's an issue.
But I get it, though. If you were to need something from her in the future, you're probably not going to get it.
And, you know, yeah, I understand. I get she said she's a single mom and she could use the help.
Yeah, yeah, she could. But, I mean, I can't have... it's one thing for me to say, hey, kid, you know, work it out. Like, you can, you know, grow a pair and do the hard things, right? Like, I'm all about that as a parent, but there's a difference between that and making her sit with the bully in the car every day.
Maybe it's a conversation you just have with the kid one-on-one or with your daughter there present.
Yeah, and then she sues you for who knows what.
You know, so what's your gut leaning towards
her
right
therapy
now?
Therapy bills.
Right, literally,
years,
right? That's part of the course.
No, there's nothing wrong with sitting down and being like, do you want to talk this out and hash this out? Like, why are you saying these things to my daughter? You can have a conversation with him. He's 10. He knows what he's doing at this point. So
yeah, but I could see that blowing up in my face, too.
So what's your gut telling you? What are you leaning towards?
My gut is leaning towards backing out. It's not my job to parent somebody else's kid.
So if you guys are just tuning in, here's the dilemma. Does Eileen back out and risk letting down this mom who's kind of really counting on her? Or does she keep her promise and... I don't know, basically force her daughter to ride to school with this 10-year-old punk every day.
Her arch nemesis, essentially.
Right. Yeah, I would put your daughter first in this situation, but that's me. Let us know what you decide to do. We're going to get to some messages coming in right now, Eileen.
It's definitely a tough situation to be in. We feel for you.
It sounds like you're just going to have the conversation with the mom that you can't do it. She'll figure out. There's other alternatives. I'm sure she'll figure it out.
I guess. You know, I don't know if I should maybe like wait till a weekend to give her some time to find an alternative.
You're a good person. You're a good person. Let's just put it that way.
I'm trying to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, clearly. I mean, considering it's weighing on you because there's other people that'd be like, well, screw you. You figure it out on your own. And you're trying to do the right thing here. Obviously, that's clear. We'll get to some messages here, but I appreciate you calling in this morning.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate your help with this one.
Oh, no problem, Eileen. We'll do our best to see if we can help. All right, guys, 585-252-9800. Eileen, have a great day.
You too. Thanks, guys.
Okay, the first message we get is from a mom named Sarah who says, absolutely not. That's right in all caps, too. As a mom, I would be livid because there's no way I'm forcing my daughter to be around someone who torments her. That's just not a car ride that's sending a good message.
Yeah.
You're sending a message that her comfort doesn't really matter.
This person says, why can't kids ride the bus anymore? What is happening here? I believe that kids have gone completely soft. Why are we catering to their every needs and turning into modern day Ubers for them? I know that's true. Nobody knows like what's happening with like the bus and the car ride situation, because it seems like this is truly like more normal than not when it comes to not riding the bus.
I know.
But like, I would literally look at that kid dead in the face and I would say, if you keep it up, you're walking to school. See ya.
Yeah. Can't this mom, this is coming in, can't this mom have a sit down with both kids? A little uncomfortable, yeah, but sometimes putting the issue on the table makes the behavior stop. Mm-hmm. Sad that the other mom is in denial, too. I know, she told her. Not my Tanner.
Not my Tanner.
Oh, no, sorry. Let's go over to Pam on the phone. Hi, good morning, Pam.
Good morning.
Hi, what are your thoughts on this?
No sit down with the kid.
Why?
Oh. That will absolutely blow up in their face. Absolutely.
I agree, Pam.
What would you do?
Parents are, I've been through it. I've raised three kids by myself.
Tell us, Pam. Tell us everything.
I would attempt to have a conversation with the mother.
Okay.
Not going to like it. Be ready to lose a friend.
Yeah, oh, right. I know. No. Well, you're not wrong about that. Because anytime you start, anytime you say one bad thing, whether it's true or not, to somebody else's, to some kid's parent, they're automatically going to go on the defense. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they will not lose. You'll lose. If it's a friend, you'll lose a friend. And just be ready for that and accept it. It's okay.
Jillian.
So you think Eileen should just stay away from this and not drive the kid to school?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm with you.
No, your child comes first. Your child comes first. and you will never win that one. I mean, so I had a situation where I talked to a child and it blew right up in my face. And,
really?
You can't say
absolutely.
Nothing anymore.
They'll sue you.
Nothing. Nothing. You can't. And I remember being a little kid and my next door neighbor's mother reamed me out and my mother let her.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
You're like, it's very different these days.
You know what, Pam? When I was growing up in the neighborhood, I was being rude to one of the neighbor's kids. And his mother came out and let me have it for like 10 minutes in front of everyone. And my mom basically was like, good. You know, but you can't do that. You can't do it anymore.
It's not okay.
Go ahead.
My kids are now in their 30s. And I mean, it's been 30 years that you cannot. It's unacceptable. Again, it's going to ruin a friendship. Get over it. It's okay.
Yeah.
Wow,
a friend not worth saying. Yeah.
Well, Pam, are you open to being this girl's friend when she needs more?
Who, me?
Yeah. The silence is all I need.
I have lost friendships. And again, you know, you get on in life and sometimes they come back, sometimes they get it. Whatever, it doesn't matter. You'll make new friends and you'll have great friendships.
All right, Pam. Sometimes
people can't deal with other people like you who are very direct, and that's their problem.
Absolutely.
All right, Pam, thanks so much. We love you.
Bye, queen.
All right. Thank you guys for the messages on this. Sean says, tell this punk to take the bus or a hot air balloon to school. He wouldn't get in my car, that's for sure.
Not the hot air balloon. Actually, that sounds kind of fun. I would do that.
It's PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy. We'll be right back.
98 PXY is free.
And always will be.
PXY Mornings, Moose, Breezy, Breeze. How many of you have a teenager at home who has their permit, already has a vehicle, but for one reason or another, they refuse to drive and get their license?
That was legitimately my brother.
585-252-9800. Nancy from Gates sends in this message to the show, and I found it to be really interesting because so many of us, as soon as we turn 16, what do?
We gotta get behind the wheel.
Run out the door?
We gotta get our permit.
That's right. We can't wait to drive. Not Nancy's son. Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Here's the message, Moose and Breezy. So here's a tricky one for you guys this morning. My 17-year-old doesn't want to drive. We've encouraged him. We even bought him a car. Yeah. He's got his permit. He's dragging his feet on getting that license. He says he's just not comfortable with all the traffic in our area, but we live in Gates.
Right.
So I'm not sure what he's
Nothing we can do about that, buddy.
Not sure what he's talking about. Honestly, I think he's afraid. Now, here's where I'm stuck. Instead of driving, he's asking for his own Uber account so he can go
Stop.
To
Stop.
Yeah, he wants
Stop
to
it.
Hang out with friends and not have to rely on us for rides, but I'm hesitant. Yeah, Uber has teen options, but I've heard horror stories about shady drivers and the idea of putting my kid in a car with a stranger. I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me. I'd rather have him learn how to drive. So I was wondering if anyone has any suggestions on what to do here. Do I give in and set him up with an Uber account, even though it makes me uneasy? Or do I force him to get his license?
Force him.
And push him into a situation he's clearly not ready for. You guys are great in the morning. Thanks for reading my message. Nancy, I'm going to be fully blunt here for a minute, but driving is a life skill. What happens when he's 25 and he can't drive himself to a job interview?
I have a friend who is 31 and has never had their license.
You know, I get it if you're living in New York City or a place you don't need a vehicle, but Put him in driver's ed and make him get his license.
Get him lessons. Yeah. Like, even if it's not driver's ed, like, there, you can hire someone to be your personal driving instructor and do that with you until you feel comfortable.
I love driving
ed. I know that's more money, but like.
Yeah. I mean, driver's ed will get you absolutely comfortable because I had three other teenagers in the backseat with me, plus my driving coach in the passenger seat. And you're nervous, but they teach you how to become comfortable once you get on the road. So this really comes down to safety versus independence.
Right.
What's riskier, putting your teen in an Uber or pushing them to drive before they're comfortable?
Well, it's like, I just don't think that you, like, putting their problem off is going to, it's not going to solve itself until you hit it face on, or head on, I should say, and you move forward with it. And it's going to take some time to convince them to, I don't know, be comfortable with it or continue to work on it.
Oh, you especially
can't just, like,
with
give
all
give up and be like, all right, Uber it is.
I know. It is tough, especially with all the traffic and gates. Let's go.
I really forget the gates is even a thing.
Let's go over to Matt on hold. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I have a 22-year-old son who still has a permit. He's had it for like 6 years.
What do you think the situation there is?
So basically what I told him is, so since he doesn't want to get his license, we live in Penfield.
Okay.
And he walks to work or he gets an Uber.
Yeah.
But I told him if he doesn't want to drive, then those are the only two other options other than get a bicycle.
Who's paying for the Ubers, him or you?
He is.
Wow, all right.
Yep, so if that's the choice he wants to make, I can't force him. You can't force a kid.
Did he explain to you what the big idea is, what the big fear are? Also, are you on a hot rod right now? What's happening?
Just like the kid who in Greece, he said he's afraid of hurting someone else driving. He doesn't want to get in an accident.
Yeah, you know, and some people do, especially behind the wheel. I know a 52-year-old woman who's never driven. I mean, because she suffers from anxiety and in a tough situation.
Exactly what it is.
Right.
If
she's in the car alone, she's screaming out the window for somebody else to take the wheel.
Stop it.
What I came up with is if he chooses not to, then he needs to find a way of transportation.
Yeah.
If it's cold, I'll go pick him up. He works at a store close by my house.
Got it.
So if it's cold, I'll go pick him up. But yeah. Other than that, he's on his own.
Yeah.
I know that it's hard to kind of reason with someone with anxiety, especially crippling anxiety, but like he could get hit walking to work.
There's a number.
Well, yes, that is true. He takes a lot of precautions getting home, but he knows that's one of the consequences that, you know, he's got to be careful.
Yeah.
But
very interesting.
Thanks,
Matt. Want to hurt somebody.
Thanks, Matt, for the insight.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, buddy. Let me go over to a couple text messages here. Mike says, hot takes. This is a hot take, but parents who buy their kid a car before they even get their license are part of the problem. Why would he rush to learn when he already has wheels waiting? So, I don't know, so he can drive it. Jeff says, this generation has no urgency to grow up. At 17, I had a job, I had a license, I was driving my friends around, and now kids want Uber. This generation doesn't want to grow up. Mark says, honestly, I rather my son take an Uber than ride with his dumb 17-year-old friends who just got their license and think they're in Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is a great teachable moment because when he meets a girl and he really starts dating, he's going to see how quickly life gets limited if you can't drive. And, you know, nobody wants to be 18, 19, 20 years old still waiting on mom or dad or Uber to take them out. But if it's an anxiety thing, then you're going to be comfortable when you're comfortable.
I fear that if you don't hit it head on now, you're going to get complacent and you're never going to want to learn.
Also true.
You have to do it now.
Also true. It's PXY Mornings. Thank you guys so much for the messages on this. Be right back.
And I've got all the strange news stories that you won't get scrolling your Instagram feed. Starting at 3 every afternoon, right here on 98 PXY.